Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Life Chat with your hosts, Viv and Bill. It is always a pleasure to share life with you, bringing the perspective of others to life situations. So today we have a great show lined up for you, and I cannot wait to introduce you to our special guests for today. But before I do so, Vivelyn, my co-host, I need to find out from you, how is life going?
It's going. You know, kids are back in school, and just trying to revamp my business and my businesses, and trying to, you know, get away from doing life coaching into more staying with business consulting and event management. So I'm trying to do a revamping to see the direction that God has for me. So that's how life is treating me right now. How about you?
Well, that's good. I just gave you a free ad.
Yes, you did. I saw that plug in, right?
Yes. For me, everything is good. School is going on. We are almost at the end of the semester, so I am a little bit excited about that. How about the election? Did you do any early voting? Are you going to mail in your ballot? Are you going to vote?
Yes, I just did that today. I'm mailing my ballot today.
Oh, did you? Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, wow. That's good. That's more than I did. I don't want to mail mine in. I have a chair, and I'm going to take some lunch. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go, and I'm going to sit in line and have my lunch. But I want to make sure my vote is counted, so I am not mailing in my ballot.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are planning to do, because they feel that they know for a fact that it's being counted if they sit on that line. So, hey, yes, as long as they vote, right?
Yes. That's a good thing. Oh, boy. I love it. I love a proactive person.
Yes, that's what I am. I'm just kidding.
I see. All right. So today, this month, the month of October is considered or is designated as Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And of course, this wouldn't be Life Chat if we did not acknowledge that, especially as women ourselves, and bring an awareness to our listening audience. So today we're going to talk about breast cancer. We're going to talk about ways in which to have early detection. We're going to speak to somebody who has been there, done that, and is wearing the t-shirt and wearing it well about it. And we are going to be also at the end, we want to encourage you and let you know what you have to do during this month, because we can get distracted with election coming and the COVID happening and all that is going on. We tend to forget some little things that we need to do. All right. So I'm going to have our guest introduce herself, and then I am going to ask her a couple of questions. And she's going to, whatever way you want to share the information, please feel free to go ahead and do so. Okay, Ms. Jackie.
Good evening, or hello, everyone. My name is Jackie Kennedy, and I am a 5-time breast cancer survivor. And I'm also the president and founder of the 501c3 nonprofit, the MDP Cancer Fund.
What is that basically?
The MDP Cancer Fund is an organization that I started about 13 years ago, and MDP are the initials of one of my sisters who passed away from breast cancer that had metastasized when she was 27 years old.
Wow.
And she passed away in 1990. 1990. and she left behind five small children, wow, ages 3 through 7. Hmm. And at that time, in 1990, she died in December of 1990. And in January of 1991, I was diagnosed with breast cancer for a third time.
Mm. Wow.
Oh, wow. Wow, what a story. I think you are just the best person that we could have on to speak to our audience and to share your story. Thank you again so very much. So my first question was, when were you diagnosed? But I think you just told us in 1991, or it was before that. That was your third. So when were you diagnosed with breast cancer?
The first time I was diagnosed with breast cancer was in 1988. I had just had my oldest daughter. Actually, I was diagnosed after I gave birth. But when I went into the hospital, when I was in labor and I went into the hospital, that's when a lump was found in my right breast. Mm-hmm. And I was very young at the time. I really didn't know that much about breast cancer at all. And I had not noticed the lump. The doctor found it. And breast cancer never even crossed my mind. Mm-hmm. Just never even crossed my mind. But after I had given birth and went back to the doctor for my 6-week checkup, mm-hmm, or shortly before my 6-week checkup, I went back to the doctor, and then, you know, he recommended, you know, that I have a biopsy, and I went through the biopsy and everything. And before I had the biopsy, he assured me, or he stated to me, that it wasn't breast cancer. Hmm. And it kind of surprised me because, you know, just the mention of the word. And I did the biopsy and everything, and I went to the doctor the next day to get the results of the biopsy, and he told me that it was breast cancer.
Wow.
And I was just devastated. You know, I felt like I finally had a baby and it was a little girl, mm-hmm, and now I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. You know, those were my thoughts. And I started crying. I was just really upset. And I called back to my house where one of my girlfriends was babysitting my daughter, because my daughter was only 5 or 6 weeks old. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, I said, they said that I have breast cancer. And she spoke very calmly. And she said, well, it's just another thing that we're going to have to believe God for. Mm-hmm. And when she said that, it kind of shook me to, yes, I'm a Christian. I believe in divine healing. You know, it stirred me to who I was and what I believed.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. I can just imagine, you know, your devastation. Here you are with a new baby. Maybe you're planning to breastfeed and, you know, to connect and to cuddle, and then to get this news, or maybe you were breastfeeding. I don't know, but I can just imagine how devastating that was. So were there other family members before you who were diagnosed with breast cancer?
There were not. Hmm. There were no family members that I knew of. My mother had 5 girls, mm-hmm, and none of them had been diagnosed with breast cancer. My mother had never been diagnosed with breast cancer. My mother had a sister. Her sister had never been diagnosed with breast cancer. Mm-hmm. So as far as I knew, no one had ever been diagnosed with breast cancer. And I was the first one. And I was, you know, I was very young at the time. And all of my sisters were young as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I was diagnosed in April of 1988. I had another sister. And at the time I was diagnosed, I was 31 years old. Mm-hmm. I had another sister. She was diagnosed in June of 1988. She was 24 years old.
Wow.
And then another sister was diagnosed in September of 1988. And she was 28 years old.
Wow.
So the three of us were diagnosed within months of each other.
Oh my goodness.
And all of us were very young. And a fourth sister, a fourth girl of my mother's, we didn't grow up together. So I do know that she was diagnosed at some point, but I don't know when.
Okay.
But as far as I know, I can only think that it was probably after me because I'm older than all of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was only 31 at the time of diagnosis.
Wow.
So just listening to your story, the myth, there is a myth out there that usually you're older, or people are older when they're diagnosed with breast cancer. And the insurance companies will not agree to pay for things like mammogram and other tests before a certain age. So here you are with three people in the family under the age of 40,
mm-hmm,
who were diagnosed with breast cancer, which totally debunk that theory. That, you know, you have to wait until you are a certain age to be allowed to have a mammogram screening done.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the question, too. Were you doing your routine exam? Well, you said before 40, Vilma, so I guess that wasn't something that you did normally, is the mammogram or anything like that. Before, what caused the doctor to examine your breast? As a matter of fact, that's the question, really.
I guess just because I was coming into the hospital to give birth.
Okay.
Just a routine exam.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So going back to what I said, Bibilin, if there is a strong family history, which now we know in your family, Jackie, but before, if there's a strong family history, they will give permission to, you may be able to get the mammogram paid for. You know, I'm sure that other members in your family will not have as much of an issue or a pushback when they see your history. But if there is no strong family history, that's not usually something that the insurance will recommend. However, there is one thing that they do recommend for women, and is breast self-exam.
Okay.
Because it has been stated that most breast lumps are discovered by the woman by doing breast self-examination.
Mm-hmm.
So I am sure, even if you are not a believer then, Jackie, I am sure that is something that you are teaching through your organization, MDP, or that you're encouraging your friends to always do? Are you?
We probably don't say as often as we should mm-hmm. about the monthly breast self-exams, which are very, very important. We do speak about the mammograms, mm-hmm. having the yearly mammograms. And if there's a history in the family, you can have the mammograms mm-hmm. at an early age. Correct. You know, and I have two girls and I have nieces. With my girls and my nieces, they've all started having mammograms. Mm-hmm. Because of history, mm-hmm. Mammograms can start in your 20s and 30s.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You know. And it's actually recommended that they start a certain number of years before the diagnosis of that close relative. Like for my girls, it was recommended that they start in their 20s having mammograms.
Okay.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm learning something, guys. I'm hoping you are, too. And remember, Vilma is a nurse practitioner, so that's why she knows all the endo-windos and the questions about this insurance company. So remember, we have a professional on board.
Okay. Is that a plug for me?
Yes.
We're doing all plugs all around. So Miss Jackie, what route did they go in terms of treatment?
The first time I was diagnosed, it was recommended that I do chemo. It was recommended that I have a mastectomy. I was very young and I really didn't want to do either one of those things. Mm-hmm. And I made the choice not to do that. Mm-hmm. And a year later, after that first diagnosis, a year later, I found a lump in that same breast. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, again, I was devastated. And I did go to the doctor, and it was recommended that I have a mastectomy. Well, first of all, have a biopsy. And then, you know, if it came back that it was cancerous, to have a mastectomy and have chemotherapy. And initially, I just didn't do anything, which, you know, in hindsight, was not wisdom at all. But being young and just, I guess, in denial somewhat, mm-hmm. I just didn't do anything. So I went for months without doing anything. And the tumor got larger and everything. By the time I finally did something, it had been, let's see, 8 or 9 months wow. since I discovered it by the time I did anything. So when I did do something, I had the lump removed. And when I awoke from the surgery, they said that they had removed it, but they said they found another lump under my arm. And they said that they didn't remove that one. And they said that the lump in my breast was too large for them to remove the one under my arm as well. After that, in talking with one or more other doctors, they said they had never heard of that. And they seemed to not understand why both of those lumps were not removed.
Right.
But the large one that they removed from my breast, they said that one was cancerous also, like the first one that was removed the year before.
Mm-hmm.
Again, chemotherapy and a mastectomy were recommended. And again, I chose not to do it. So I went on, and my sister that was diagnosed at 24, shortly after that, I found out that she was terminally ill because she had been diagnosed a second time. When she was diagnosed the first time, she had a mastectomy and she was doing chemotherapy. And the chemotherapy was making her sick.
Mm-hmm.
And she stopped doing the chemotherapy before the course was over. So she was then diagnosed a second time a little bit later down the road, not much later, because the first time she was diagnosed, she was 24.
Mm-hmm.
This is my sister that passed away when she was 27 from breast cancer that had metastasized, that had spread to other parts of her body.
Mm.
So shortly after I had received that second diagnosis, which I received in December of 1989.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after that, she received a second diagnosis. She had another mastectomy, which now that meant she had had a double mastectomy. And at some point they also found it in her bones.
Mm-hmm.
And she was diagnosed as terminal. And we're into 1990 at this point. And I was living in New York City at the time. And I left New York and moved back to Delaware, which is my home. Moved back to Delaware because I wanted to be close to my sister and to be able to pray with her and speak with her and everything. Mm-hmm. And I moved back to Delaware because she was terminal.
Mm. Wow. Now, this must take a really psychological toll on the family. Did you guys get any form of therapy or anything like that? Because you have, what, three sisters that was diagnosed along with yourself? And then with one that, you know, passed away, how did you guys handle all of this? What gave you guys the strength? Like, I know you talked about God and being that God can handle this, but what gave you guys the strength to go on to continue?
For me, it was God. None of us sought any psychological help.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm against that. It's just not something that we did. And my trust and confidence and everything was in God. And my one sister that was diagnosed at 28, she had a mastectomy. Chemotherapy or radiation wasn't advised, and she had no more problems at that time. She didn't have any more problems.
Mm-hmm.
The one sister, as I said, we didn't grow up with her, and we weren't aware, actually, until after she had passed away. And at some point, I don't know how long she had been passed away, when we received the news that she had passed away and that she had passed away from breast cancer. I know that I was still young at the time, and she was younger than I was. So she, you know, did pass away when she was young. But with my two sisters that I was in contact with, the two of them and myself, none of us sought out any psychological help. And we, you know, as I said, for me, I just had my trust and confidence in God.
Okay, good. Thank you. Just to go back to something you said, you mentioned about, you know, not choosing to get chemotherapy or the mastectomy, but, you know, most, a number of younger people will do that because it's all about body image. It's all about, you know, people feeling less than. So I do understand, and that's something that a number of women battle with. So it's nothing that, you know, you would say it was foolish, but it's just our thinking. Being at that age, if you were older, I am sure it would be no problem. But women, younger women of childbearing age, those who are married or not married, our breasts is a part of our sexuality and our image. So I do understand where you are coming from. And I do and I can see how you made that decision not to. So I wouldn't, you know, fault you or anything, but when we are younger, we see things differently than when we are older.
Yes.
The next thing that I want to our audience to understand, that we are talking about breast cancer awareness and we're talking to a female, but I also want you to listen, and if there are men out there that you don't tune us out, because male breast cancer, it's rare, but it can occur in men. And it is thought of as a disease, as I say, of women, but breast cancer does occur in men and most common in older men. But I had a patient and he was 17 and he had breast cancer. This was my one of my patients. He was 17 and he had breast cancer. He had, you know, the breast removed. And he had chemotherapy. So I want men to understand that although it is rare, but they also can get breast cancer.
Wow, yes. Good information.
Yes.
Definitely.
Go ahead.
When my sister passed away, I was there by her bed, praying and saying scriptures when she passed away. And shortly after that, I did go to the doctor again and had the lump that was under my arm removed, and with some counsel from pastors at my church, I had made the decision when I went to have the lump removed that was under my arm. I had made the decision that if it was, if it was diagnosed as breast cancer that time, and that would have been the third time, that if it was diagnosed as breast cancer at that time, even though I was still young, I made the decision that I would have the mastectomy and that I would undergo chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. And I made the decision that there was, and Velma, I'm sure you know, with being a nurse practitioner, I think, do they call it a cold test or a hard test or some type of test when they remove it, they can tell then that it's cancerous?
I'm not sure. Maybe like a frozen biopsy. I'm not exactly sure which one you're.
Yeah, it's been a long time ago, and I don't remember the terminology now. But mm-hmm. they did that test right after they removed it while I was there asleep under the anesthesia, because I had made the decision if they found out that it was cancerous, just go ahead and do the mastectomy while I'm asleep, while I'm under the anesthesia already. Hmm. And they did that test. Mm-hmm. They determined that it was cancerous, and I had the mastectomy at that time, and I went through a course of chemotherapy after that.
Okay.
But unfortunately, about 12, let me see. About, that would have been 1991. So about almost 14 years later, I had a lump, and this time it was in the pelvic area. Hmm. And they tested it, did a lot of tests and everything. It was removed. They did a lot of testing and everything. And they came back and they said it was a recurrent breast cancer, even though it wasn't located in the breast. Wow. And that was the fourth diagnosis.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow. They said they would watch me. And 2 years later, I had another lump in the pelvic area, and it was removed. And they initially said it was a recurrent breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And then they said they couldn't tell if it was a recurrent breast cancer or primary in the pelvic area, but it would be treated the same. The course of treatment would be the same. And that was the fifth diagnosis.
Wow. Is that common, Vilma, that you find it in different areas? Did they tell you it was common, yeah. Jackie?
You can. It depends on your genetic history and the type of cancer it is. And I think, you know, as you have been doing with your relatives, that's something that is there. So some people are carriers. They have a gene that they call it the breast cancer gene that they carry in their body. So some, because they know they are a carrier, they will choose or opt to have mastectomy done before even being diagnosed as having breast cancer, because they carry the gene and they know that eventually they will. But breast cancer can spread, and depending on the type it is, can do so rapidly to other adjacent organs.
Okay.
And at the time of my fifth diagnosis, I was told that I was one of 12 in the world.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they met, there was a meeting with a number of doctors. Mm-hmm. And it was, they decided from that meeting that they were going to go after this aggressively. And I did chemotherapy for 6 months, having a treatment once every 3 weeks. I did another intravenous drug called Herceptin. I did that for a year. While I was taking the Herceptin, I had to have a test called a MUGA scan once every 3 months to see what my heart function was, to make sure that it wasn't affecting my heart. And I had to do radiation.
Wow. Wow.
And I did all of those. And I just thank God. The first time I took chemotherapy back in the 90s, the only side effects that I had was I lost all my hair, mm-hmm. and my nail beds turned dark. So I wore a wig and fingernail polish.
Yeah, thank God for those too, huh?
Yes. And the thing about chemotherapy is that it can make you sterile. Hmm. And I did have some problems with my cycle, but I met a young man, because when I was first diagnosed and when I had my oldest daughter in 1988, mm-hmm. I was single. Mm-hmm. And after being diagnosed 3 times and having a mastectomy and going through chemotherapy, I met a young man and I told him, you know, and one of my things, Velma was saying about being young and about sexuality and all of that, those things were running through my mind because I was single. Mm-hmm. And God blessed me with a husband. Wow. It didn't matter to him that I had had a mastectomy. And we got married, and we were married for, by the time we had been married 12 weeks, I was 9 weeks pregnant.
Wow.
And he had been away for 2 of those weeks.
Wow.
With the military.
Wow.
So the chemo, thank the Lord, did not make me sterile. And I went on to have my youngest daughter, who I always say that she is my miracle baby.
Yes.
And shortly after I had her, and when I say shortly, before she was 2 years old, it was determined by testing that I had went into an early menopause.
Hmm. Wow. Wow. God is good.
Yeah. God bless me. To have her, and I believe that I started to go into menopause because of the way my body was reacting. Mm-hmm. I believe that menopause started shortly after I had her.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, what would you tell an individual who is going through this process, just got a diagnosis? Recently, I've seen that you've done this 5 times. Oh my God, you're such a, you know,
trooper.
Trooper, yeah, or a hero. I don't know. You know, God is the hero, but My goodness, you know, you still have that beautiful smile. If you can't see her, we can. She has such a beautiful smile. Oh, you should see the smile. And, you know, what would you tell those individuals going through it right now? They could be in their young stage, like, you know, you and Vilma were talking about young and being young and, you know, having that sexuality and don't want to able to get the operation done, removing your breasts or anything like that. Or a person who's older who just got this diagnosis, what would you tell those particular individuals right now?
I would say to definitely pray, be optimistic. A book that I was reading of a lady by the name of Dodie Osteen, she was told she had cancer. She wrote a book, Healed of Cancer, and I read that book many times. And in her book, she states that her husband was told that with or without chemotherapy, she had 3 weeks to live.
Wow.
And her husband told the doctor he was going to take his wife home and that they were going to pray. And in this book, I read where a doctor had said about a person's positive attitude and how that can help with a diagnosis. And I would say to someone to pray, be optimistic. If God is not telling you something different, definitely listen to what the medical profession is advising you to do. Because you have surgery does not mean that you don't trust God. It does not mean that God is not working. Because what I would say and what I believe is that healing can come in different ways.
Right.
So listen to the medical profession. If they are telling you to do chemo, radiation, if they're telling you to have a mastectomy, which I'm not sure that that's the first avenue that they recommend nowadays, because for me, when they recommended that, that was 30 years ago. But get a doctor that you trust, that you have trust and confidence in, and listen to what they're telling you, and definitely pray and try to stay optimistic and just fight. Because when a boxer is in a ring, if he does nothing, if he does not fight, he's sure to lose if the other person is fighting. So you fight. Because if you don't fight, you don't win.
That's right.
Wow. So fight.
That's good advice. So how is life now, Jackie?
Life is good.
Yes.
Life is good. Unfortunately, my husband and I are now divorced, but it had nothing to do with the fact that I had a mastectomy and we were married for 19 years, you know, but life is good. I thank God that I'm still here to tell my story.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. Tell us about the organization, the MDP.
The MDP Cancer Fund, our mission involves awareness, education, and support. And we want people to be aware. Our focus is on breast cancer and other cancers that primarily affect women. And those cancers, of course, are breast cancer, the gynecological cancers, lung cancer, and colon cancer. Mm-hmm. And we do two large fundraising events each year. Unfortunately, this year, one is in the spring, which is a luncheon and fashion show. We weren't able to do that. Mm-hmm. And the second one is a charity ball. It's called the Kennedy Black and White Ball. Hmm. And we do that in the fall. We do it the first Friday night in November. We do it at Harry's Savoy Ballroom. And we've been doing the ball this year, will be 13 years wow. that we've been doing the ball. And this year we're holding it virtually. It's always the first Friday night in November. So Friday night, November 6th, we'll be holding that event. And all information with regard to the organization is located on our website. And that website address is M as in Mary, D as in David, P as in Paul, C as in Charles, F as in Frank, mdpcf.org. And we have all our information about how the where the organization, who the organization is named in memory of, what we do, where our funds go. We donate our funds to the Cancer Special Needs Fund at the Helen F. Graham Cancer Center. And the Cancer Special Needs Fund, it helps those that may not be able to afford their co-pays for their medicine. They may not be able to afford wigs or prosthetics or transportation to and from chemotherapy appointments. The funds that we raise, we donate there, and they that's what those funds are used for. To date, we've donated almost $50,000.
Wow.
And something that we're starting now is that we are going to be helping those that may not be able to afford, may not have insurance, and may not be able to afford mammograms or for breast cancer or colonoscopies, which are detection tests to detect polyps and things like that, and to determine whether one has colon cancer, and x-rays to determine about lung cancer. We are trying to raise funds and have funds so that we can help individuals that are not able to afford those tests to help them pay for those tests.
Wow.
Thank you.
So the hospital is the one who approved the individuals that are qualified for these grants?
Individuals would reach out to my organization, our website. There's a way that they can contact us from the website. The hospital, we are working on setting up with like the breast center for working on getting set up with the breast center. I would speak with them and I would get it set up with them. But of course, the individual reaching out to us, we would go through avenues as far as whether they would qualify.
Okay.
Awesome.
There's some good information there that you've given to us. And I'm so excited that we were able to host you on our podcast this week. And as we get ready to close this session, right?
Yeah.
As we get ready to close this session, just to remind our audience that although we are primarily speaking about women and breast cancer does affect men as well, and it's rare, but it does affect men and affect older men. And I'm going to encourage us as ladies that we do breast self-examination. If you do not have a strong family history of breast cancer, a mammogram may not be the way your insurance wants to go, but they can't stop you from doing breast self-exam. And you choose a day on your calendar. Some people are going through menopause, cannot coincide it with the time of their period, which is, you know, a week or so after the period ends. But you choose a day on the calendar and you do it that day every month if you are going through menopause and you need to check your breast. Now, apart from doing breast self-exam, you don't just check and feel, but you look at your breast. It's yours. Look at it, examine it, know what it looks like. If you find a lump, if the size changes, if the shape or appearance of your breast change, if the skin over the breasts shows dimpling around it, if your nipple is newly inverted, if there is any, you know, scaling or peeling or flaking around the nipple area, which is called the areola of your breast, that is something that you need to be aware of. If there is redness or pitting, that when you put your finger on it, your finger goes in of the skin. If there's any pitting of the skin over the breast, like the skin of an orange, or, you know, any discharge from the breasts, I want you to go see your doctor. Go get medical advice. You know, further tests may need to be done.
Wow. Wow. This is really good information. I like what you just said, Vilma. That's really good information for us to have and for our audience to have. I'm going to have to go do some examination and look at all those things Vilma told me to look at, because I don't think I have to look at those things. So audience, join me in looking at those things. Anyway, before we go, Jackie, I wanted you to quote either one or two scriptures that pull you through before we go. I just want you to just uplift our audience with a scripture that you stood on that worked for you. You know, one or two real quick. Just quote those scriptures that got you through, your go-to scripture through this entire ordeal.
I believe it's 1 Peter 2:24 that states, by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. Mm-hmm. Were being past tense. It's already done. Mm-hmm. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So God's word is what it is, and I can stand on that. There's another scripture in the Old Testament that says his word shall not return to him void.
That's right.
And that was another scripture that I stood on. I also needed to stand on the scripture that God has not given, that's in the New Testament, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Awesome.
There's a scripture in Nahum 1:9, affliction shall not rise up a second time. And because I'm a 5-time breast cancer survivor, does not mean that I don't still stand on that scripture.
That's right.
That affliction shall not rise up a second time.
Awesome.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Jackie. We really appreciate you being so vivid and sharing with us your experiences and even the things that your family members have gone through. And you just, you know, you really blessed my heart. And like I told the audience before, of how you're so inviting and so, you know, joyful. Your spirit is such a joyful spirit, even though you've been through so much. You're not saying, woe is me. You said to them that they need to fight. With all you have, fight. And fight with those scriptures or even whatever else God has given to you. So we just thank you so much for joining us. And we thank you. I know Vilma and I will be going on MDPCF website and checking that out, definitely. Right, Vilma? Well, I'm going on. I know you're going on too.
MDPCF.
There you go. Well, thank you guys for joining us another day. This is Life Chat with Viv and Vil. Good night. Bye.
Good night.